so far away, a million miles or more, it feels today. And though I haven't lost my faith, I must confess right now that it's hard for me to pray. Lord, I don't know what to say, and I don't know where to start. But as you give the grace, with all that's in my heart, I will sing, I will praise. Even in the darkest hour, through the sorrow and the pain, I will sing, I will praise. Lift my hands to honor you, because your word is true. I will sing. Lord, it's hard for me to see all the facts and plans you have for me. But I will put my trust in you, knowing that you died to set me free. Lord, I don't know what to say, and I don't know where to start. But as you give the grace, with all that's in my heart, I will sing, I will praise. Lift my hands to honor you, because your word is true. I will sing and I will praise. There's a point in our life as Christians that we necessarily have to experience a crisis of faith. And it is at that point that we really demonstrate our fidelity to the Lord. And I've had my own crisis of faith, especially this year. I prayed fervently for the wife of Deacon Gull, Debbie Gull. I asked God, give Debbie a miracle. Give her a miracle and let your children begin to see your hand, your blessings in our lives. I prayed, spent night in the chapel, but God's will prevailed. She passed away. And I have another parishioner here, Mindy Pampel's daughter, Katie. I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. She had cancer, and she was here for her father's funeral, and we prayed together, and she passed away. And then my sister had been praying, did novenas, went to the shrine of St. Peregrine for cancer patients in Mesa, did some prayers and prayed and prayed. She passed away. And that was a moment of darkness for me. And I said, God, where are you? I can't see you. I can't feel you. I can't touch you. God, where are you? And it was a place of darkness, a place of loneliness. But you see, I learned a lesson from that experience, that when trials and tribulations come our way, one of the things that happen is that we begin to have a weakened faith. We begin to vacillate. We're not here, we're not there because of our experience, because of our troubles. And so, we can't serve the Lord with a weakened faith. We can't serve the Lord with a spirit of gamble, of taking a risk. Christianity is about faith. And St. Paul says faith is a confidence assurance of things hoped for. Confidence assurance. And so today, Jesus says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, move, and it will. And what Jesus is saying is this: when you have faith, you will grow to the level of fidelity and surrender and entrustment. And you come to that place and say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And so Jesus says, the apostles asked Jesus, Lord, then increase our faith, because what you're asking us to do is difficult. Increase our faith, because they realize that with a weakened faith, they cannot serve the Lord in truth and in spirit. Weakened faith, we cannot come to that life that Jesus promised us. And that is why today I know many of us are going through trials. And I want to share four ways that we can revive and rekindle our weakened faith. And that was the message of St. Paul to Timothy in our second reading. He says, put to flame the gift that God has given you. And what is the greatest gift? The gift of faith. And so if we are experiencing a weakened faith, I like to share four ways that we can rekindle it, that we can revive it. The first is to begin to share the faith. And this is one way that I was able to come out of that place of darkness. God gives me this opportunity to share the words every weekend, every Sunday, every day. And there is no way that you encounter the word of God that you remain the same if your heart is open. And so as I continue to share the word, the Lord continues to increase my faith. And so if you want to increase your faith, begin to share the word. Faith is meant to be shared, because the more we use it and share it, the more faith we receive. And I learned that many years when I was in a charismatic. We go out for evangelism, and that is how you grow in your knowledge of the word of God and in your knowledge of the character of God. But when we don't share our faith, friends, we cannot grow. Our faith cannot increase. And that is a big challenge for us, because we say, I don't know very much. But you need to begin from somewhere. Share the faith, and your weakened faith will increase. The more we share our faith, the more we remember Bible verses, because we are going to need them. We are going to use them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. The second is prayer. Faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It is a fire deep in our soul, deep down in our soul. We need to earnestly ask the Holy Spirit to stir up that fire, that gift of faith in our soul. And God is willing, is ready to give us the Spirit. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 13, Jesus says, bad as you are, you know how good to give good things to your children. How much more then would the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So Jesus is saying that God may not give you everything that you request or you ask, but when you ask for the Holy Spirit, he gives it to you immediately, because we live the Christian life with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when you experience a weakened faith, keep other intentions aside. Go to God in prayer and say, God, fill me again with your Spirit. Revive that Spirit. Set that fire of faith in my soul. Let it begin to blaze. Ask the Lord. Keep other prayers aside. And make that a focused prayer, a strategic prayer, that you want the Spirit, the gift of faith, like St. Paul says, to be set aflame again. And that is why I love this song. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire in my soul. And the Lord answers that prayer. Number three is to develop a habit of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. You see, in the gospel, Jesus says that the servant did what the master asked him to do, and he does not deserve any praise. It's not because the master is mean, but the lesson is this, that in our relationship with God, God is the one who treats us with grace. We don't treat God with grace. He treats us with grace. And grace means being treated better than you deserve. Have you ever treated God better than he deserves? Amen. Can anyone here say, I treat God better than he deserves? Friends, no one. But God treats us better than we deserve. And that is why gratitude should be our response to faith. Every day, gratitude. When we live with a spirit of gratitude, we see the goodness of God in our lives. And when we see the goodness of God, the challenges can never be an obstacle because we are moving. His blessings are more than the troubles in our lives. But the problem is we think that the problem in our lives are greater than the blessings in our lives. And so we become discouraged. We begin to accept a weakened faith. There is this old hymn that can help you. It says, when upon life's billow you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Do that. Do that every day. Count your blessings more than you count your problems. Number four, worship the Lord with extravagance. Worship the Lord with all your heart, with all your spirit. Develop a habit of praises and adoration. And you know that's my favorite, right? Amen. Because in most of the songs and the music we have today, they are very powerful. They have lyrics that can just change the circumstances of your life, that can just change your perspective. Listen more to gospel songs. Listen more to your favorite gospel artist. Learn to sing vocal songs. When you do that, you release power, you release authority. In Psalm 22, verse 3, the Bible says, God is enthroned, God dwells, God is tabernacled in the midst of the praises of his people. And so the more you sing praises to God, the more your soul is uplifted, the more you get divine revelation, and the more you are able to see the plan of God, the work of God in your life. And during this time that I had this very big moment of crisis, I think the Lord gave me this beautiful song. I hope I have it here. Oh, I should. All right. Amen. My life flows on in endless song, above earth's lamentation. I hear the sweet, the far of him that hails a new creation through all the tumult and the strife. I hear the music ringing, it finds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing? What though my joys and comforts die, the Lord my Savior liveth. What though the darkness gather round, songs in the night he giveth. No storm can shake my inmost calm. Why to that refuge clinging? Since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing?